Entering week three in this search for Nancy Guthrie, and tonight investigators are delivering a sobering message. We're in a very critical 24-hour period, but we've seen that before. Now, tips continue to pour in. Forensic teams are working behind the scenes, and the mystery surrounding that masked figure in front of the Nest camera, the backpack, vehicle sightings, and unanswered timelines, all those mysteries only deepen. But tonight, there is potentially major news. DNA recovered from a black glove may provide investigators their clearest forensic lead yet, and this possibly could break the case wide open. And oh yeah, another piece of breaking news in just a moment.
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, STS Nation? Welcome to Surviving the Survivor. This is the global phenomenon with more than 50 countries represented, bringing you the very best guests in all of true crime. It is day 15, hard to believe, since Nancy Guthrie went missing. And there have been searches, detentions, ransom notes, demand notes, surveillance images, intense scrutiny. Hopefully now we are getting somewhere with word of potential unknown male DNA on a glove that was found almost 2 miles from the crime scene. We're going to talk a lot about that. But first, our best guest in the house, you know him well, 3-time Officer of the Year, Las Vegas Metropolitan PD, retired homicide detective, all around cool cat, Detective Phil Ramos. And then next up, she's a legend too, and I haven't seen her in a long time, the Southern sweetheart. It is Cheryl Mack McCollum. She is an award-winning CSI and director of the Cold Case Investigative Research Unit. Mack is a nationally recognized forensic expert and frequent contributor on every show you watch. She's also the author of the soon-to-be-published Swans Don't Swim in a Sewer. What an awesome name. Swans Don't Swim in a Sewer. We'll ask her about that and what that's all about. She brings decades of crime scene insight to the Nancy Guthrie investigation. And last but not least, we are waiting as well on Phil Andrew, retired FBI special agent, a veteran hostage negotiator, and he's running for Congress in the great state of Illinois. He gave us a heads up. He might be a minute late, but we have some breaking news. And without further ado, instead of me telling you about what it is, I'm going to let you hear directly from the proverbial horse's mouth. In this case, the reporter, CBS 5 in Phoenix. Here we go.
Hi, guys. We are now able to independently confirm some new information in the Nancy Guthrie investigation. This is from an inside source that is now reportable. I want to take you through the new information we've learned. We can now report investigators now believe this was a burglary gone wrong. We've interviewed multiple experts since this began who also said, based on the evidence, surveillance video, and other aspects of this case, that they also believed this was not an intended kidnapping. As for Friday night's operations, law enforcement activity, we can now report from our inside source that DNA evidence is currently being tested that was found from that Range Rover at the scene outside Culver's. You could see when investigators were there, they put up a tarp, that they were doing some sort of investigative work there. And last, but probably most important, the widespread belief by investigators tonight is that Nancy Guthrie could be alive.
You just heard it there. Breaking news as we come on, and I have a feeling things should get cray-cray once again tonight. Phil Ramos, you're the retired homicide detective. This is now CBS 5 Phoenix breaking in, reporting this on their socials, which is what you see first nowadays. By the way, I just heard a story. Facebook has patented an AI that once you're dead, it will continue to post for you long after you're dead. So anyone worried about that tonight? That's another piece of breaking news. The world has gone mad. But I look forward to chatting with my mother, Carm, who co-hosts the show. Phil Ramos, according to a quote-unquote inside source, they now believe this is a burglary gone bad. You have been saying this all along. Thought it was a home invasion. You never thought this was a kidnapping. Your response, this has got to be a good source if they're reporting it and getting on CBS 5's own social media to do so.
Yeah, and like I said, I think just about 90% of the people we've spoken with have come to that conclusion that it was either a burglary or home invasion gone wrong. I mean, this ransom TMZ note ridiculousness just never fit the scenario. So that's a confirmation of what we thought all along. So that's kind of a push. The DNA is from the glove. So that has some great potential if they can tie that glove to the scene. They've recovered dozens of gloves, from what I understand, and likely most of them will have DNA in them. It's a matter of getting a match with whatever DNA they have at the scene. So that's that remains to be seen. We still don't know what they got inside that house, which is a big reason why we just can't conclusively say, hey, that's the glove that was used by that guy, the knucklehead on the front porch. We just can't say that because there's no confirmation of that. And then lastly, for them to say they think she's still alive, man, I hope to God that's true, but how they got that information to be able to make that statement is going to be very interesting.
No, I was going to say, you got a feel for the Guthrie family because they're getting, you know, all kinds of jerked around here. They think that their mom's alive. They don't think their mother's alive. But Phil, Andrew, welcome to the show. Please meet Mac, Cheryl McCollum, who is a crime scene investigator, Detective Phil Ramos, retired homicide detective. You missed a little bit of breaking news. Since it is short and it's important, this is from CBS 5 in Phoenix. I'm going to play it one more time, and then we'll get Mac's take and your take on this. And we'll talk about your congressional run and Mac's book as well. We get it all in on this show. So here we go. Here we go.
Guys, we are now able to independently confirm some new information in the Nancy Guthrie investigation. This is from an inside source that is now reportable. I want to take you through the new information we've learned. We can now report investigators now believe this was a burglary gone wrong. We've interviewed multiple experts since this began who also said, based on the evidence, surveillance video, and other aspects of this case, that they also believed this was not an intended kidnapping. As for Friday night's operations, law enforcement activity, we can now report from our inside source that DNA evidence is currently being tested that was found from that Range Rover at the scene outside Culver's. You could see when investigators were there, they put up a tarp that they were doing some sort of investigative work there. And last, but probably most important, the widespread belief by investigators tonight is that Nancy Guthrie could be alive.
Okay, so that just broke CBS 5 Phoenix, obviously not on their traditional newscast, but on either TikTok or one of the social medias. But Mac, that's how it's done in 2026. A lot to deconstruct here. The first, and maybe not the most important, because I think Nancy being alive would be the most important, but the first item here is from an inside source. Now they are saying they believe it was a burglary gone wrong. Have you bought into this kidnap storyline? Did you think it was a burglary gone bad, and your reaction to hearing this now?
Well, I certainly from day one didn't think it was a kidnapping for ransom. I mean, even day one, I pointed out she had not been ransomed. And then every time one of these letters came up, I called it bogus. That was never part of this whole thing to me. Money never made sense. A burglary gone wrong. Yep, that was on the list. Somebody that had some type of issue with her, whether real or perceived, made sense to me too, especially after I watched his behavior on that tape. He did some things that were very odd to me. But there is no doubt that law enforcement knows what was in that house, how it was laid out, what was disturbed, what was taken. And I'll give you, for instance, maybe that backpack had something else inside of it that was empty. Maybe that's what he was going to fill with whatever he was going to steal from her. She woke up. Maybe she had her cane with her. Maybe there was some type of tussle. But whatever occurred inside, he made the decision to kidnap her, meaning to take her away, not for ransom, but certainly to lead her away from that home for whatever reason he decided to do that.
Yeah, I'm getting to Phil in just one second. Phil, I'm just muting you because we hear you clacking on the keypad, but I'll unmute you if you need to type, just hit that mute button for me. But Mac, to you, you know, one of the things that's obviously odd, which are a lot of things about this case, I don't recall, and obviously you've been in the business for a long time and have a wealth of experience, but Do you recall people going around collecting multiples of gloves from as far away as 2 miles away? And I'll caveat that by saying I lived in Tucson myself. That's where I met my wife. I hate to say it, but there's a lot of litter bugs out there that just, you know, transients who just dump stuff. But is it unusual that they started just picking up any random gloves along the way going out 2+ miles, I think, from the crime scene?
Well, when I see a lot of these photographs that have been taken and the videos that are being shown, most of that landscape is pristine. I don't even see them picking up a cigarette butt. I haven't seen them collect a cup. So the gloves that are closest to the scene that possibly were dropped by law enforcement, here's the deal. Most of them that we have seen on video, their gloves are blue. The glove that they collected that I was the most interested in is black. That matches the video. The other thing is, when I first saw the glove on the side of the road, it looked longer to me. On that video, when he even reaches out and he's manipulating the flowers, you don't see any skin. That glove is further on his arm than a regular crime scene glove would be. So I was really encouraged when I saw the length of that glove. I was also encouraged that it was on the correct side of the road. That's where the driver would have thrown it out. And it being 2.5 miles, again, I was kind of encouraged because that might have taken him that long to kind of get his wits about him to say, hey, just in case I'm stopped for speeding or reckless driving, I can't be wearing these gloves. And I can see maybe just in an instant he threw them out. I mean, think about it. Koberger left a knife sheath behind. BTK sent a floppy disk that could be traced. I mean, they make mistakes. Criminals make mistakes and leave things behind all the time. So I'm hoping that this is the thing that connects these dots, that the DNA on that glove matches the DNA on that scene, and it's game on.
Man, I have missed that accent. Mac, it's been way too long. Phil, Andrew, to you, possibly the bravest of all the best guests we've had ever, because what would inspire you to get into politics? My mother's a therapist. She'll work with you for free. What's going on? Why are you going into politics?
Well, I think this is the crisis we've got to address. You know, I've been in the crisis management work for most of my life. And if we don't get this one right, it doesn't matter what else we get right.
Mm. I'm being facetious. Good on you for trying to make a difference here. Here's a comment. I mean, you're just coming in. I just played that breaking news. There's a few things to get through, but the obvious one is now, according to CBS 5 in Phoenix, are inside sources telling them that this is a burglary gone bad. But then you've got paralegal Mandy here. Burglary gone wrong. You just don't leave the lady. Also, this comment here caught my attention. Burglars don't leave empty handed. Do you believe this, that it was a burglary gone bad? I mean, something maybe just went absolutely sideways and this guy took off with her.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. One, because it's not clear that he took anything except for her. And why take her if you're just looking to get out of there?
Yeah, I mean, why do that? Now, just following up with Mac's question too. I mean, she's a CSI, so she's in the on the ground doing the quote unquote dirty work. But have you seen gloves or evidence collected like this in a 2 mile perimeter from a crime scene? This I've never seen them go out that far just saying, hey, maybe this is something. Oh, maybe this is something. I mean, what would be the difference between that and picking up a cigarette butt 1.7 miles away?
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep. And man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE. Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, Not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Well, right. Exactly. You know, and it's great that they're running the DNA. We'll see if there's any kind of match. But, you know, it is a kind of a rural area. There's a couple kind of rural pathways, you know, if you zoom out, that somebody could have been taking it by foot. Hard to believe somebody would be taking a body by foot. But, you know, you can't be sure. And there are so many personnel there. There's a lot of pressure on this case, that it's going to continue to turn up stuff that is just suspicious, and they're going to have to run it down.
Mac, obviously Phil gave us the reason, you know, it's time to jump in the political fray to make a change for the better. You're smarter. You're just writing a book, which is no easy feat, because I've done it. Swans Don't Swim in a Sewer. It's an awesome title. What's it about?
It is about a serial killer whose daughter was murdered, and he reached out to me and asked if I would help solve her case.
A true story.
True story.
Wow. So a serial killer's daughter, that's pretty bad karma right there. His daughter gets murdered, he reaches out to you, and you help solve the case. Wow. When's it out, and where can we get it?
It'll be out May 12th, but you can pre-order on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, anywhere. Anyway.
I'm excited to check that out. So, one of the other things mentioned here, Phil Ramos, is you and I watched this together, this Range Rover being processed when there were detainments two nights ago. No arrests were made. But now they're saying that DNA is being tested from that Range Rover. You and I were going back all night because there were reports of a self-unaliving. We can't say the S word on YouTube. And then I sent you a photo because the hatch was open and they had a curtain up. So I was like, man, I hope Nancy Guthrie's not in there. Turned out to be not much of anything. But now, apparently, according to CBS 5, they're testing the DNA from this Range Rover. What does that tell you?
Well, they must feel that there's some association with the crime scene, obviously, or an individual suspected of it. I think this was a result of a tip. And, you know, when we were sitting here going back and forth and all these ridiculous false stories were coming out about it was a pursuit and the driver shot himself and all that nonsense, it was very clear there was no damage to the front of that Range Rover. Somebody else thought it was a hit and run type thing. And there was a sunscreen on the windshield. So all that nonsense just didn't make sense. And then when you see them spreading out those sheets or blankets, whatever they've got out there, and they said they're going to take the body out. Well, there was no body bag there, and you don't put a body in the back of a evidence processing vehicle. That's what the coroner is for. So the stuff just gets so ridiculous from people. It just boggles my mind. And the association between that Range Rover and the scene and this investigation remains to be seen. There was never any mention of the driver. They said, well, he was taken, he was detained and was questioned. We don't know if he was one of the three people. We don't know what happened to him. So that remains unclear.
Yeah, we're looking at a SWAT truck from the other night. Mac, to you, what information sources is obviously a source close to the reporter, and that reporter does a lot of true crime work. But what information sources would provide, or who would provide the information that Nancy is still alive? I mean, what do you think they're going off of? That's a big allegation to make.
I've heard openly. The sheriff say it. I mean, I've been surprised when he said it. But here's the reality. We don't know. Here's what we do know. An 84-year-old woman on blood thinner was bleeding when she left that house. Mm-hmm. That ain't a good look. That's a dangerous situation. We're also told she can't walk very far by herself and needs medication every day. Now, y'all stay with me for a second. We've all seen that video. He did not have enough sense to pick up a rock, and he walked past 1,000 of them to bust that camera and be done with it. He went right up to it, cupped his hand in an unusual manner, then went back and got flowers, and then stood there, manipulated the flowers and broke them, then walked back to the camera, where the lens, you can see right through the flowers and still see his face and even see the mouth flashlight. You want me to believe this person with that little knowledge of just how to get past a Ring camera is going to take care of this woman, take her back and forth to the bathroom, make sure she's got something to eat, make sure she's got some kind of painkiller? I don't have that confidence. I don't. So the only thing that made sense to me the other night is when they said it was a man, a young guy, living with his mom. And all I could do is pray. He hurt her. She was bleeding. He panicked and took her to his mother. But again, I don't have any evidence of that. That was a prayer.
Yeah, well, last night, or it was two nights ago, now I can't keep track, but whenever that detainment happened with the three people, there were reports that one of them was a mother. It was a mother and son. So that's interesting because that goes along with your theory. Phil, to you, you've got a wealth of experience at the FBI, and I'm sure you've seen your fair share of strange cases, but just taking a half step back, 30,000 foot bird's eye view, how odd is this case compared to others that you've covered?
Yeah, this is pretty odd without any kind of lead. But, you know, there's so much that we don't know about the motivation. And, you know, this seemed like it was cased, it was planned, but it's amateurish. And then we've got these fake, you know, or the hoax ransoms. We really haven't seen what we want to see in a negotiation like this or a hostage taking, proof of life. And that's really the gold standard for moving forward. Odd that the person, you know, Miss Guthrie would be taken without them establishing some sort of value here, right? Mm-hmm. That the value of taking her alive is for some kind of negotiation. But I do think there's some things about this case, and because of how public they are, that there could be some odd emotional connection here. And I reminisce a bit about the Hinckley, Jodie Foster assassination on attempt on Ronald Reagan, you know, that there wasn't really a clear direct connection between he and Jodie, but it was an attempt to get attention. And maybe something's gone wrong there, but I do feel like that's could explain the gap, that this isn't financially motivated, but perhaps emotionally motivated.
Are you talking now about maybe someone who is like a fan of the Today Show type thing, who's obsessed with Savannah, then sees some sort of window of opportunity with the mother? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, some sort of odd way of getting her attention, or, demonstrating frustration over not getting attention, and some sort of weird erotomania, unilateral relationship.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And yes, very odd case. Phil Ramos, let's get back to Nancy. I mean, this would be the most important nugget without a doubt from this local CBS 5 news. And for those just joining us, they're breaking news tonight that they have information that says this was essentially a botched burglary attempt and not an actual kidnapping, which would also explain why Harvey Levin has a new best friend, a pen pal, that keeps asking him for some kind of what appears to be a bogus demand note. But that's a whole other whole other aspect. But Phil, on a serious note, you're the guy who's done this way too many times where you show up and you have to tell next of kin that their loved one is no longer here. Reports like this, that she's okay, and the sheriff speaking openly saying, you know, she's alive, when truly, I don't think he knows. Are they doing more of a disservice than a service? Phil Ramos, to you.
Keep losing signal. I didn't get half of your question there. I don't know what's going on.
I'm sorry, Phil. Can you hear me now?
Is it breaking up? Yeah, I got you now.
Yeah, so my question is, you know, you're the guy that notifies next of kin, and here you have a reporter, a CBS 5, and the sheriff even going around saying, well, he thinks that she's alive, but I don't think that there's any, unless I don't know, it doesn't seem like they have really verifiable, corroborated information. Are they doing the family more of a disservice by giving potentially false hope? I mean, we all hope it's real, but would false hope be worse?
Yeah, of course it would be, but hopefully they've got a victim witness liaison with the family, and so that they can keep the family updated on what everything that is happening. And with information coming out like that, I'm hoping that since, you know, we need to show compassion and humanity to the family, that they were advised of that. Say, look, there's going to be a report on the news tonight and it's going to say this. So I'm sure that that is being done, because you just don't leave the family out in the cold when something major develops, because it's going to give them false hope, or they're going to think the worst. So you got to keep your humanity and make sure that the family is prepared for what's about to be announced.
Yeah. And then Phil, and I'm getting back to Mac in a sec, but if we look at his video, if you're robbing a home, do you need a giant backpack? And I mean, the gun, maybe, I don't know, but the backpack is what's throwing me off a little bit. This massive pack where he looks like he's coming prepared to do more than just rob a home.
Which Phil?
I'm sorry, Phil Andrew.
I agree. I mean, look, burglar comes with tools, and it does look like a kind of loaded down. And maybe there are some supplies in there, you know, perhaps a tarp or something. But I think it's just coming back to the prior question, you got to hold out hope. And clearly, Miss Guthrie was taken for a reason. And she only has any value in any kind of statement, you know, if she's alive. So, without anything more, I think it's okay for investigators to keep that. And until we have some indication otherwise.
Okay. I'm just playing that video one more time. Now, Mac, I understand you have a lot of interesting things to say about this. So let's, and Phil Ramos has looked at this extensively, but this is, takes a second to load. Apologies. Here we go. The blood. Sure. Talk to us about, this is your wheelhouse here. Is what a crime scene investigator is looking at, trying to figure out. What do you make of this blood that was on her front stoop right after the crime?
Well, you obviously see the drops from the 90-degree angle. Some of them have dried in a half moon shape. That's indicative of those drops having air in them. So that would be consistent with an injury to the nose or to the mouth. And then if you see the larger spot, it looks like a spray. You're going to go down. There you go. Keep going. Right there. And around it, in a pretty widespread, you're going to see what we call medium to high velocity. That to me looks like she coughed. And let me explain one more reason why. Look at the 90-degree drops around it. It's almost in a perfect circle. So just imagine you have a nosebleed and you're hurt. And you kind of just, you know, your head just kind of like, oh, man, that hurt. You almost go in a circle. But then if you come back and go down away from the front door, you're going to see something that almost looks like a Rorschach test. You know, the thing that looks like the butterfly, the ink print. If you can move it down a little bit, that's what you're going to see. And that to me is a transfer pattern, meaning something had blood on it and touched that ground. And then a little bit further down, I see something that looks like just a swipe. So it had blood on it and just kind of whisked by. But there's four distinct blood patterns there. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
Just to reiterate, the four distinct blood patterns, what does that tell you from your experience?
Again, I think she was bleeding from an injury from the nose or the mouth, and she coughed. But here's the other thing that's critical about it. There's no drag marks through it. There's no wheels through it like a walker. There's no shoe prints. There was no scuffle there in that moment. It's literally her standing there bleeding, and then she walks or is walked to the point the blood stops, and that's when I believe she got into a vehicle.
Mac, what's your gut tell you? I mean, you've got the maternal instinct that none of us have. Do you think that Nancy Guthrie is with us tonight?
Sadly, I do not. However, there's always hope, and there is nothing better than being wrong. And if she shows up, I will be so elated and joyful. But here's my concern again. 84 years old, needs medication every day, can't walk on her own. is on blood thinners and is bleeding. That is a recipe for disaster to me, especially if you have somebody that's not using her as a bargaining chip. Because y'all keep in mind, they had not one deadline, but two. And I thought they were all bogus. But let's say he sees that and goes, hey, I can maybe give her up and get a little money and then go hide. That still hasn't been done. Savannah said last Saturday, a week and a day ago, they would pay. Well, her mama hadn't been released yet.
Yeah. There's a comment. Well, Phil Andrew, and I suppose anything is possible, but someone's asking, well, could he have put her, like slung her like a fireman over her shoulder and carried her out? That's why we're not seeing wheel marks or footprints. What do you think of that possibility?
You know, the pattern to me, and it may have been mentioned, you know, it looks like drip, and then there is kind of a splatter, which would be consistent with somebody being carried and maybe, you know, with a facial wound or a bloody nose. Usually we would see more in a case like that, but it's consistent with potentially somebody being carried out, conscious or unconscious.
Yeah. We're welcoming to the show as well. Look at this. It's a surprise. Dave Czarny, retired NYPD detective. David, I know you're joining kind of midstream, but there was some breaking news off the top, and that is CBS 5 in Phoenix is saying that they have inside information that this is a robbery gone bad now, and they believe that Nancy Guthrie could still be alive. They're also processing that Range Rover for some sort of DNA that could be important. But let's start with step one from you. What do you make of this, that they're saying it's a botched robbery now?
Well, I'll say this. Thank you for having me again. And I had to up my game a bit. I saw everyone in college shirts, so I make sure I look kind of the part too. Here's the thing about birds. And one of the fortes I did with burglary investigations, it is unusual to have someone conduct a burglary and remove somebody. But I said before, and I've always say this, nighttime burglars are the most dangerous ones that I've dealt with, because they don't care about encountering an individual at home, because at night, that's when you'll see that person. Whether this is a burglary gone wrong, here are the things you had to think about when this all came into play. What was at the scene? What was removed? And what does not belong at that house? Hopefully, when they conducted this crime scene, they checked this crime scene, they asked what was here that doesn't belong here. Because burglars will make mistakes. We've seen a mistake already with the video. We haven't seen anything else. You saw a mistake with trying to do the Ring camera. He has a backpack. He never goes to his backpack to extract anything to lock that camera or remove it. We don't know what kind of burglary. We heard forced entry. Was it a pry or was it a window access? These are two things that, you know, as a detective, we've always said, how do you get in a building? How do you get in a house? Front door or window? We don't know if it was a pry job. It didn't seem to be, because if he had a pry tool, he would have popped that Ring camera right out immediately. So I don't know. So that now that part, you have video of this, you have this. You have DNA recovered possibly 1.5 miles of a glove. And as an investigator, we have to now tie that glove to the crime scene itself. Is there anything on that glove that they say has DNA on it match anything from the crime scene at the residence, namely also anything belonging to Nancy or Nancy's blood? Then you have something more to go on. Right now you have a glove that has DNA on it. If I brought that to a prosecutor, as a burglar, you have a glove a mile and a half away, it's our guy, I get laughed out of the room. So we still have a lot more to do. There's so many things to compare that glove to. You're comparing the DNA at the residence, which the sheriff brought up, that there was DNA at the residence. Is that DNA matching the glove that they found, or the 16 gloves that have been located all around that area? These are things, you know, all we can speculate about that, but you need really solid proof to go and say, we have a person that is responsible for this abduction. We don't know if it was a kidnapping, because the ransom notes have been always weird or anything, but it is very unusual to remove a person from their residence at 150 pounds, 84 years old, regardless of the fact, blood on the scene. Did they also, if you saw blood on the scene, did anyone look to see if there was a blood trace to a location? I don't know how that crime scene, it was already tainted at 11 o'clock in the morning when people came to look at her house. But was that done? Were these things done in the, you know, as a crime scene, as an investigator, and Phil knows it too. It is painstaking. I, you know, that place should have stayed for 4 or 5 days as long as you had to. I don't know.
Yeah. Mac, what about that? I mean, they released that right away. Huge mistake.
I think every single one of us had a visceral reaction. There's no way. We already know there's blood on the outside. logically, you can conclude there's blood on the inside. There's no way you release that. Not a shot until we know where she's at.
Yeah. Phil Ramos. So this just to me gets just weirder and weirder every time there's a new nugget. Obviously, now they're saying it's a robbery gone bad. But let's just talk about this glove that's in question right now. Let's kind of dig into the glove. It was found in the field about 2 miles from Nancy's home. It was packaged up by the Pima County Sheriff's Department, and it was sent not to the FBI lab, because we know there's stuff going on between the two agencies, but to a private forensic lab in Florida. The lab received it the next day, and preliminary results were returned quickly. Let's stop there. First question is, do you agree with Sarney? I mean, Sarney just said at the NYPD, if he walked in to a prosecutor or a DA's office and said, hey, I found this glove 2 miles away, he'd get laughed out of the room. Would you in Clark County, where Vegas is? I think it's Clark County.
Yeah, anybody would. The first question is going to be, well, how do you know it was associated with the crime? That's where the DNA is coming in. I mean,
that's what I don't understand. So why, like, what is happening here that they're just focused on this one glove?
Well, that's the part that we don't know. We still don't know what that DNA inside the house, if any, was. I'm hoping and I'm assuming that there is at least some suspect DNA that they have and they haven't released, and nor should they. They just need to keep it close. There's so many things that they have to keep close. But everybody is saying it is similar to or appears to be, and you got to pay attention to that wording, because similar to and appears to be is a long shot from this is the glove that was in the video. The DNA on this glove matches that guy in the video on the front porch. So that begs the question, how do you know that? How do you know?
Yeah. Okay, so here's the exact verbiage. Phil, Andrew, I'll come to you next. I always have to have two Phils on the show, but this Phil's got two first names, Phil Andrew, so it's easier. The gloves found approximately 2 miles from the Guthrie residence in a field near the side of the road were packaged up by the Pima County Sheriff's Department, sent overnight. They arrived at the private lab in Florida on 2/13 yesterday, so this was Friday. Today is Sunday. The FBI received preliminary results yesterday on 2/14 and are awaiting quality control and official confirmation today before putting unknown male profile into CODIS, the national database unique to the Bureau. This process typically takes 24 hours from when the Bureau receives DNA. Let's hold it right there. When they say, Phil Andrew, receive preliminary results, is that some sort of hit that they're getting that they believe is credible? What does that tell you? Phil, we just have to unmute you there, I believe. There we go. Oh, and we just lost him. Phil Ramos, let me come back to you on that. Is this credible when they say receive preliminary results? What does that preliminary results mean?
Well, the full profile hasn't been determined yet. There's so many levels of a profile. And CODIS has certain requirements before they will put a profile into their database. They have to meet a minimum standard to go into CODIS because of their protocols on how they're going to match either a previous scene or genealogy or however. There's different levels of DNA match. There's a partial match, a mixture match. But to get a direct match, you have to have the sciences, that's something I cannot speak to intelligently because I'm not that smart. I'm not like Max. She's a genius. But there's a certain qualifiers that have to meet CODIS's protocols before that profile gets entered into CODIS and into that database.
Yeah, Phil, Andrew, I know you just got kind of cut off there, but my question to you was, investigators are waiting on final quality control, but the preliminary results were returned quickly, and it sounds like those preliminary results were of interest. And my question is, what would make preliminary results important enough to then get a full profile for a CODIS database?
Yeah, I would say that it has to be related to somebody that they can identify. And that's as much as I think we can say. It's a pretty low threshold. They've got a glove. It looks like a glove that could have been. It's 2 miles out. And of the preliminary hit, it must be hitting on some universe that makes it interesting. And I agree with Phil Ramos. Like, they've got to go deeper before it gets in the database, as far as I understand.
Yeah, and David Sarney, I mean, this is the part I just can't get past, and then I'll circle back to Mac, but from Carol Mack, interestingly enough, 2 miles away, beside a road in a field, weird. Weird is an understatement. Again, I mean, David Sarney, what are the chances even of finding something 2 miles away? And now they're suggesting that there's a potential link. It just seems so strange, so odd. And, you know, after what we saw the last few nights with the detainees not being arrested and let go, I'm trying to believe that this is not another false start, but I'm not getting my hopes up.
Yeah, and that thing, optics matter. And I'm not sure as to why the FBI would release any information saying we have anything until you have something. And saying we have, and this is with DNA, and DNA is one of those things that can be left. And the Phils have probably dealt with cases like this. And I just go back to cases I've had, because I was like, burglars. That's what I dealt with primarily. And, you know, people leave things behind, so people don't. Now, you could have a preliminary result, meaning you have enough to say it is of a person. It is not mixed results, which we're not sure about. We still don't know. You know, we have all these things that they're kind of categories. Mixed results means there's mixture of DNA and they can't determine. Then there would be a match, which would be a case-to-case match with no identified individual. Then you would have a DNA hit where you have, this is the DNA of this person. That will be fantastic. And I call, if that's the case, and you have DNA from a glove or from an item, that's when you have to do a herpology in a sense. You have to do a background. Start looking at this person. Was this person in? What has this person done? What is their prior criminal history? Because 2.5 miles, I'm going to go throw a case of mine. We had an act. We had a break-in, a front door break-in with a hard, heavy object. They beat the door like it owed it money. Eventually, we find out we get DNA recovered from an axe that was near the door area. Great. Sounds like it's going to be the guy. Talk to the prosecutor. Prosecutor goes, you're going to have to go upstate because he's arrested in an unrelated crime. Speak to him and ask him if it's his axe, in a sense. And, of course, he denied everything. We had nothing to go on. Even then, that's the one thing about the DNA. If this DNA comes back, there's still more work to be done. It's not over. And, that's why my concern, the unusual aspect is why would the FBI release something they really have very little on? And to say we have preliminary results, we're waiting to have to go through CODIS. I don't know what the reasoning behind it is, because I don't know. It went to Florida, because Florida is this private lab. And could this be something where it's sort of, you know, a backhanded slap at Pima sending it to Florida? I don't know. I mean, why would you release the statement to begin with? It's just not enough. Let the work be done. If that gets DNA, fantastic. How do you match it to the residents? How do you match it to a person who was at that location? Because that's the next step. We got DNA on this. Is it the same DNA of the person that was at the house? Is it the same DNA that you recovered from the scene? And that's why if there's DNA, you're hoping that Nancy's DNA is on that glove. And again, hope doesn't mean fact. And that's what we have to, as investigators do, we work on facts.
Yeah. Mac, I've got, first of all, someone's like, let Mac talk. I'm doing my best here, everyone. It is hard to, it's harder to host than it looks. Yeah. Mac, why would a burglar spend 40 minutes in a house and take nothing? It came up earlier. Shout out to Scotland, which I also get yelled at for not shouting out enough, but we got 50 countries plus represented. So shout out to Scotland and Sean Connery. Mac, why would they spend 41 minutes in a house and not take anything if this is a purported burglary gone bad?
Well, let me also say hello to the McCollum clan. Here's the deal. The 41 minutes bothered me from day one, because here's a guy that's got a flashlight in his mouth. If you're fixing to do a home invasion and control the people that are in there, you've got to yell commands to them. So you've got to take that out of your mouth at some point, which means his DNA is beautifully on that glove. If we find the glove, it's going to be great. It's going to be a beautiful sample. But 41 minutes, that ain't a home invasion anymore. Something has happened. Again, home invasions are quick. They bust in that door. They grab the money or the drugs or whatever they went in there they knew was a value, jewelry, whatever they knew, predetermined. 41 minutes is an eternity. One thing, if you look at that backpack, it's filled with what? I don't think it's anything good. He didn't have the tool to breach the door that he ever presented on the video. And again, we hadn't seen everything. But if you watch him when he first gets to the door, he tries to turn the doorknob first. He doesn't go up there and bust the first door, which is nothing but an iron gate stopping him to get to the next door. He's busted out the floodlights and all the other stuff all around the house. That almost seems staged to me, like he's doing all this extra stuff. He has all these extra items. When you start looking at the backpack, brand new, the clothes are brand new. The mouth light, I assume, is brand new. I think he got it all at the same time. The holster doesn't fit. I mean, everything, the way he's wearing it doesn't fit. Every single thing is odd. Well, when I can't make something fit, I'm going to accept that it doesn't. And this looks like this kid went to Kidnappers R Us. He looks ridiculous. And again, he does a whole bunch of extra steps that aren't necessary. You want to control an 84-year-old woman? Stand by her bed when she wakes up at 1:30 in the morning and you are in control. She is going to do anything you tell her to do. She doesn't have to bleed. She doesn't have to be hurt. So if you watch law enforcement, yeah, they're saying all these things. We believe she's still alive. Well, that ain't what the helicopter told me today when you're driving around trying to connect to her pacemaker.
Yeah. Here's an interesting question. Judy Herbert is unbelievably generous, retired, and I guess a Tennessee Titans fan. Does the media and law enforcement vet the information they receive from their sources prior to releasing it to the public? Generally, when someone in the media gets something from a guy like David Sarney or Detective Ramos, that is the source. So we're like, okay, these guys must be legit, but we're relying on them. So the short answer is not really. They don't vet it that much. They kind of just go with it. And no criticism of anybody, but David Sarney might just know a piece of the puzzle, or Ramos might just know a piece of the puzzle and not the entire thing. We're going to get into these signal sniffers, which is another issue, but Ramos, let me come back to you, because I'm a little slow in media. Team of attorneys, the COE, is fleshing this out. We'll review media first. They trust sources, depending on who those sources are. Sometimes the attorneys will vet stuff on really big things. You always have, like, on a Dateline or 2020, there's multiple attorneys that go through those types of shows. But when you're on the fly, much less so. But all right, let's back up for a half second here, Phil Ramos. So we've heard about unknown male DNA inside the house, and then that was apparently rebuffed. So the question is, if the DNA on the glove that they sent out matches the individual seen in the surveillance video, how significant is that? But my question is, do we even have DNA on that person that we know of? I mean, how are they going to match it against the perp? Oh, you're muted, Phil. We're going to have to, there you go. Go ahead. You're good.
That's exactly the point David and I have been trying to make. You got DNA profiles together.
He's muted.
No, now he's good. Now you're good.
Okay, I'm good. Sorry. Yeah. Man, I'm having some serious signal issues here, but so I keep having to bounce out and bounce back in. Anyway, so yeah, let's say they got a full profile on the glove. It's still, until they can connect that profile to the scene, it's nothing other than it's a full profile. But who does it belong to? And was there a match? It's like saying, you've got a driver's license out here on the street, and then you got a social security number at the scene, and they match. You've got to have a direct physical match before you can say that glove belongs to that guy on the porch.
Yeah, and that's what I wasn't fully understanding, and now I do, and that makes a lot more sense. Now, Mac, to you, they're basically saying that the DNA could come back essentially any hour or any minute. Mm-hmm. What is going on behind the scenes? I mean, we know there's some sort of peeing match between the feds and Pima, and they're sending it to a lab in Florida. Should it, in your opinion, be going to the FBI lab in Quantico? But what does this mean? It should be back in any hour. What does that mean for the public?
The biggest clue that I got is the FBI put out a statement. And in that statement, they already said it was male DNA. So they're talking to you already. I think they already know. I think today they're setting up for the press conference tomorrow. I think they're going to be able to say, and this is my guess, that they're going to say the DNA on that glove matched DNA on the broken camera pieces or something. They're going to be able to say this glove belonged to that scene. And now if he is or is not in CODIS, we're going to go toward ancestry. I think they're going to tell us the step by step. I mean, I think they played their hand because you remember when they put the tarps up and they said, we're going to come and tell y'all something in an hour. And then nobody talked to us at all. Yeah. Well, they didn't do that here. They just told us something they didn't have to tell us. So here's my 2 cents about the private lab. It absolutely should have gone to a private lab because of time. If there's a chance Nancy Guthrie is alive, we can't wait 3 months for something to come back. Labs at the state level and even the FBI lab cannot do what these private labs can do in 24 hours. And let me just break it down real quick.
Yeah.
Y'all, back in the day, we had to have about 1,300 sales to get a profile. Othram today needs seven. And they can turn it around just like that. We saw them do it with Koberger. They got that done in a day, and it was Thanksgiving.
How many sales did you say it used to be?
1,300.
Whoa, and now it's seven. Wow, okay.
Seven. And it used to be it would take 6 months. I mean, usually, y'all, when we sent something off for DNA, we just almost forgot about it and kept working, you know, the boots on the ground, old school, just pencil and paper. We don't have to do that anymore. And I think that's why you haven't seen the Guthrie family. I think that's why they haven't done a joint press conference. They're waiting. And I think tomorrow is the day.
Phil Ramos, I'd like to just get your reaction to that. Do you agree with Mac that they've got more? The FBI would not be chiming in the way they are with a statement saying they're waiting on the final results. And tomorrow they're going to say, this guy is our guy. We've got his DNA. Let's go get him, public.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. She's spot on, because once you make that announcement, then you're pretty much on the clock. And if you don't make an arrest really quick, then you're going to look, you know, Keystone-ish. So you've got to make sure all your little ducks are in a row and they're ready to follow you before you start crossing that street. And like I said, the family's being kept appraised of what's going on. I'm sure they are, so that there's no surprises to them, you know, no false hope or, you know, sorry, she's not coming home type of thing. So it's methodical. You have to cross every single T and dot every I that you can imagine, because like I've always said, you only get one swing at the bat on a homicide. And if you miss, you miss. You're going to let a killer go free.
Wow. Okay. So we've got more news coming in. It always seems to happen in this hour. Matt Finn, who I was very friendly with, worked at Fox News with him. He just got a response from Sheriff Chris Nanos to the news that this is a robbery gone bad and they believe that she's alive, etc. Per Matt Finn, I'm just going to read his ex post here. Sheriff Nanos responds to me about the local Phoenix news report from CBS 5 that cites an inside source who says investigators believe the Guthrie case was a burglary gone bad and that Nancy Guthrie is still alive. It did not come from us. No idea. And even though that is one of the many possibilities, we would never speculate such a thing. We will let the evidence take us to motive. You're looking at that right there. Phil Ramos, back to you. Again, is this now a situation where the FBI might be leaking things because there's apparently bad blood between the feds and Pima County? Or is this just, I don't know, a one maverick or person on one of the law enforcement agencies who's just deciding to spill the tea?
It could be that simple. I'm thinking that this reporter wouldn't risk her reputation on putting something out there without the source being very solid. So it's hard to say. I think the my dad's bigger than your dad thing has been resolved and everybody's playing fairly now, because it's been such a ugly issue. So hopefully that they resolve that. And let's not forget that Pima County is the primary agency and the FBI is assisting them. You know, we can't lose thought or lose that picture. So it's a matter of how accurate that information is, how solid the provider of that information is, and maybe they got a little bit ahead and the sheriff is trying to just, hey, everybody just calm down, calm your jets. And when it happens, it happens. And, you know, that's what we've been dealing with for 14 days.
Yeah. I mean, the only experience I bring is a former broadcast news guy. And I can tell you, you know, at the onset, it was these press conferences that were ridiculous. It went from one extreme to nothing. And I think the radio silence is causing a lot of problems. And Phil Waters has said this. Even if you say nothing, but you're just giving some proverbial red meat to the media saying, hey, we'll update you tomorrow. Just to come in front of the camera is something, right, Max? So, yeah, I mean, up to now, now people are just kind of losing it because they're hearing nothing at all. Thank you to Deborah Guzman gifting these 5 memberships. So, David Sarney, to you. Okay, so DNA results, again, are expected back any moment, right? If they run that through CODIS and nothing comes up, there's no criminal hit. In other words, this person has never been fingerprinted before, not swabbed, etc. Do you start immediately to work on some sort of what Mac just alluded to, which is IGG, investigative genetic genealogy, using like the you know, the genetic genealogy trees to try to build a profile that way, which is how they got the Golden State Killer?
Oh, yeah, that's what you're going to look at, because, I mean, they did that with a couple of cases. When you start looking at your private corporation partners like Ancestry, 23andMe, and try and gather, you know, then do the comparison and start doing the genealogy aspect of it. So that's one avenue you're going to do. And one thing about this whole issue back and forth, boss is supposed, and I'm a detective, I'm at the lowest level, the lowest rung of everything. Boss is supposed to run interference, not create interference. And that's what it seems to be here. The investigators are doing their job. Whatever's upstairs is upstairs. Let them deal with it. But what they're doing is what they're doing. If they come back with, we have an unknown male donor, you're now going to look at your partners within the private sector and work with them and get your genealogist to start looking at family traits and things like that. That's what the next thing you're going to look at. So that'll be part of it. So we're going to get that unknown DNA. If you get an unknown DNA male sample, that means you can compare it to everything else.
Starney, hold on one sec. Hold on. Again, more breaking news. COE, I know you're on this, but please pull up. Savannah Guthrie just dropped something on Instagram. We want to watch that. COE, please pull that up as quickly as you can. Go ahead, David Sarney. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. So you're dealing with an unknown donor. So you have to compare all the evidence now to the unknown donor to see if anything matches from the crime scene to that donor. Because now you have a glove. It's a mile and a half away. You're going to say that's a glove. If Nancy's DNA is in that glove, that's great. If you have DNA connected to the scene, even better. The more you have, the better you have to prosecute. Because if you get a hit on that DNA, that purpology, and I talk about purpology, you have to know a background of everything about this person. You know, hopefully they ran this case through VICAP to see if there's any other type of
explain what that is. Explain VICAP and explain purpology, Sarney.
Well, a purpology in my sense is like a victimology where you actually start working on the person. Just because you have a DNA hit doesn't necessarily mean they committed the crime. So you have to do a workup on this person to see who he is. And now it's a male, obviously, based on the DNA. Who he is, what is his criminal history, what is his background history, prior addresses, prior information about that person. That's what you're looking to do. Now, VICAP is a system the FBI utilizes. And what happens with that is it's a database, a depository of all violent crimes that have taken place, but it depends on if it's inputted. And with the type of burglary this is, if this is a home invasion burglary where the person is abducted, have there been any cases similar to that in the United States? And that would be based on, was that input in the computer? I think they probably would have done that. At least the FBI would have to check the VICAP to see if there's anything similar to this. Because it comes back to the thing that I've done burglars, and it's New York City, which is a little different. You can't really pull people out of the house. Usually you leave them behind. So that's the thing I've had an issue with. It is rare for a burglar, a nighttime burglar, who's done this before, to extract and abduct a person out of their house. That's unusual. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but it is unusual. So that's why the VICAP systems that should be looked at for violent offenders and crimes like this, You should be looking at any other crimes in the area within that radius of a 30 to 90 day thing about any home, any burglaries, night burglaries involving masks or anything like that. All these things should have been done. I don't doubt they've done it, but hopefully that'll help you make this DNA retrieval and the results of that a lot easier to handle.
Yeah, I sure hope Matt comes back. Her time is limited often, and I know Phil Andrew had a jump, and everyone's had some tech issues tonight, so apologies. I can tell you it's not on our end. Without further ado, this is Savannah Guthrie. Hold on one sec. Let's get Mac in here because I wanted her to watch. Says, Mac, you're here.
I'm back.
Is now Savannah Guthrie.
And I wanted to say to whoever has her or knows where she is that it's never too late. And you're not lost or alone. And it is never too late to do the right thing. And we are here. And we believe. And we believe in the essential goodness of every human being. And it's never too late.
All right.
I wanted to come on.
Yeah, and, Joey, let's hold that for a sec. We'll play it back in a minute. Mac,
it's been.
Tell me what you make of this. And this is coming in light of you saying that you think maybe we're going to get a press conference tomorrow about this DNA on the gloves. This is Savannah Guthrie. I wanted to say, whoever has her, it's never too late. You're not, speaking to the perpetrator here. You're not lost or alone. Never too late to do the right thing. We are here. We believe in essential goodness of every human. You are not alone. How do you read between the tea leaves?
She's by herself. Her siblings aren't with her. She's speaking directly to the person that she believes has her mother. She's using words like goodness. Then she is touching, you know, their heartstrings to say, you're not alone, almost insinuating, you know, I'm here. I'm talking to you. You are not by yourself in this. You can still turn this around and do the right thing. Because, again, the longer this goes, if Ms. Guthrie is alive, the longer it goes, that's going to change. I mean, it's a miracle she hadn't already had a heart attack if she is alive. So, again, you listen to these key words, but she does say, whoever has her. What concerns me about that is you would think at this level, I would have given you a name. Why aren't you saying, Sam, I'm talking to you, or, you know, a name? She's still saying whoever, like she doesn't know. So I'm still not completely bought in that the family believes this. It seems like things are happening out of order. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear what Phil and Phil think. But what I mean by that is, nothing happens. Then 3 days she's ransomed. Then the family puts out a video, but not for 5 days. Things seem to be not playing in the timetable you would think. So after what the FBI says, and they say they've got male DNA, why is she trying to say anything except if she thinks he heard that, now he's going to kill her and himself because he thinks they've got his DNA. That's the only thing I can think of she might be trying to do.
Yeah, I just want to say we should all take a half step back. This is, albeit a very famous news anchor, this is a human being. This is her mother. She's got siblings.
Did I lose you?
Nope. Mac, can you hear me? She's having tons of technical issues. I don't know why tonight. But Phil, you have me, and David, you have me? Ramos, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, you guys have me. I just want to take a half step back and say everyone's dropping off tonight. Savannah's, you know, this is her mother. She's got siblings. Phil Ramos, it looks like she hasn't slept for days, which is understandable, or eaten. I mean, she just looks worn to the bone right now. But what struck me is, she almost sounded like Detective Phil Ramos would sound in an interview room with a perp. Like, it's never too late. You're not lost.
It's never too late to do the right thing. It's one of these moves where you slide your chair forward and you put your hand on the knee and you're like, look, it's not too late. There is redemption in this world. You can still save yourself. I believe if it was you and the essential goodness of every human, it almost sounds like something that you would say to a perp in an interview room. Am I crazy?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, you can just, your heart breaks just listening to her and looking at the grief on her face. I mean, if that doesn't touch you, you're not human. And I think she probably checked with whoever the liaison is and said, hey, would it help if I got on and made some kind of statement like this? I would expect that to be the case. I don't, because there's been no indication that they're not 100% helping and cooperating with the authorities on this. So, man, that's gut-wrenching and right from the heart. And she doesn't have a prepared statement like she did the first two times, which were, they're finally acknowledging what we said when we saw them. Those are prepared statements by the Behavioral Services Unit, by the FBI, tugging at any possible humanity that the bad guys might have. But hopefully they're thinking that this might work. If they didn't think it would work, I think they would have said, hey, you know, just hold off for a second. But I mean, clearly they couldn't stop her and say, don't do it. But they would have suggested, now let's just wait up just a little bit longer before you say something like that. I think they gave that a green light, which is a positive step for them.
Yeah, if you're just joining us, some breaking news tonight on this case. Number one, CBS 5 in Phoenix reporting that this is a robbery gone bad and that the belief among law enforcement is that Nancy Guthrie is still alive. And then just moments ago, Savannah Guthrie, just moments ago, she released this statement on Instagram. COE, let's play this one more time right now from the top and give everyone a second chance to respond, because this is pretty big.
I wanted to come on, and it's been 2 weeks since our mom was taken, and I just wanted to come on and say that we still have hope, and we still believe, and I wanted to say to whoever has her or knows where she is, that it's never too late. And you're not lost or alone. And it is never too late to do the right thing. And we are here. We believe. And we believe in the essential goodness of every human being. And it's never too late.
Okay. The irony of that, and I think I have...
Damn it.
Mac, Mac, can you hear us? Oh, right there. Everyone's frustrated with the tech tonight. Must be an issue with StreamYard. David, are you back?
I'm hoping I'm back.
Yeah, you're back. So let me let you jump in here, because Ramos already kind of addressed this, but we clipped a little bit off the top. So at the beginning, Savannah says it's 2 weeks now. It's actually going into the third week. We still have hope. We still believe. I want to say to whoever has her, it's never too late. You're not lost or alone. It's never too late to do the right thing. We are here. We believe in the essential goodness of every human being. I mean, outside of being completely distraught and you know, looks like she hasn't slept or eaten, which is understandable, she's making an obvious plea. Is this coming directly from someone? I mean, it seems very off the cuff, but she's an amazing public speaker, which is why she hosts the Today Show. But is it still being directed, in your opinion, from a behavioral analyst with the FBI?
It's possible. Anything is possible at this point. I mean, they probably did say it's okay to do what you could say something. And I guarantee you, if there was someone in BAU there, they talked to her and say, this is where you should gear it toward. And that's what I think happened. So to watch it, you can feel, you can see in her how hard this has been. You can hear in her voice how hard it's been. And it is, it's a play at this point. Where else can you go with, at this avenue now? This is why it's not a wrong thing to do. It's something at this point, it's 14 days at this point, 14 days.
Yeah.
And anything we can get, anything that could come up of this will be beneficial. And that's why there's no problem. I can't see anybody telling Savannah Guthrie, listen, don't say anything. Be quiet till we get this done. It's just another thing to do. If this is what they're resuming now is a burg gone bad and a burglar decided to take her out of the house and take her somewhere and take care of her because he felt bad about it, about what happened, and he scared her. That's something else. Again, these are things that we're so unsure of as to what really happened, as to why this burglary, allegedly, it's a burglary, it's not an abduction, but there is an abduction as a result of this burglary. Is that the reason why she's removed? Or was there an altruistic feel that this person had toward her when he took her out of the house? He said, it's very unusual. It doesn't really happen often that someone is taken from their house after a burglary. And that's the thing we've had, is this is an abduction, was it a ransom? You know, I feel for her. I feel for the family. What they're doing is probably what they can do now is kind of grasp at straws on the family side. Get them to say something. Maybe they can get something out of them. Maybe there will be a communication now, a true communication, like, this is what we got to do. You know, I'm sorry about what happened. Here's where she is. That's what they're hoping for.
Yeah, Mac, I mean, what you said earlier, and apologies, I know StreamYard's not cooperating tonight, but what you said earlier has struck me in that you think they have something, and that's why the FBI put out a statement, and that this DNA is going to maybe come back as a match, and they're preparing everyone. Is this also why we're hearing from Savannah right now, even though it is distressing to hear her?
I think so. I mean, I think the timing would suggest that. Again, she starts with whoever has her. So she still doesn't know. I think if she had been in communication with somebody, then she would say, Sam, it's time for you and I to meet. You know, bring my mom to any location you decide. You know, you can do the right thing. You can still turn this around. It's bad, but it's not the worst that could happen. You might do the worst that could happen. And if she dies, they're going to charge you with murder anyway, even if she has a heart attack and dies. So, again, I'm not completely convinced that she's talking to somebody that she's been in communication.
It's time for you and I to meet. You know, bring my mom.
Sorry, that's...
You just,
where's that? I don't know where that's coming from. Sorry about that, but go ahead, Mac.
I mean, that's just the feel that I get. I think if she's trying to make it personal, then make it personal. Talk directly to the person, not whoever has her. I mean, think back like Bill Clinton. Remember when he said, I never had sex with that woman. He just dismissed it. Don't do that. Name it. Mm. Make us believe it. Because, you know, as excruciating as this is to watch her. I mean, I think what you're watching is somebody that is scared to death, obviously. Somebody that doesn't really know what's going on, because a whole lot of people are guessing, including us. And I think that's hard when the people that you are turning to, they're the best in the world, and they can't tell you any more for 15 days than you already know on your own.
Yeah. Phil Ramos, I mean, Mac brings up a great point. She's not naming anybody, so likely they don't have a specific person. So, I don't know what's going on with StreamYard, but Phil, to Mac's point, she's not saying Sam or Phil or Bob. She's talking in vague terms. Is this maybe because they're still waiting on a DNA profile to match up with and they just don't know who it is? And it's basically a shot in the dark here and sort of desperation hour and hoping that once they get this match, she will be able to refer to him by name. Is that what's happening here?
Mac made some good points about that.
Yeah.
But I think the humanity that she's showing, they're hoping will at least give these bad guys some sense of, you know, let's wrap this up and get it over with. They're going to find us. They're going to catch us. You know, even if we run to Mexico, if you know, if that's an option for them, then they'll be found. It's just a matter of time, man, before this gets solved. And not as fast as we would have wanted it to happen or anybody would have wanted it to happen, but it's going to happen. And they're going to find out who they are, and they're going to find out where they are. You just can't run and hide like you used to be able to. But that aside, you're trying to figure out how bad these bad guys are. Thankfully, we haven't heard any more from the clown show at TMZ and these stupid ransom notes or letters and all of that. But one of our viewers had a question about what's the difference between a burglary.
Yeah, that was a great question. I mean, what's the difference between a burglary gone bad and a kidnapping at this point, other than intent, right?
Yeah. So a burglary is entering a structure to commit grand or petty larceny. You're going in to take property. If there's a person present during that, then it becomes a robbery. If there's a human being there, it becomes a robbery. Now you go to kidnapping with intent to ransom. You don't give a crap what they have in the house. You're going in there, you're taking them, you're going someplace where you can keep them quiet and keep them out of sight and say, hey, we got your mom, give us $6 million and you get her back. That's the difference between a standard run-of-the-mill burglary and a violent crime. Burglaries aren't considered violent crimes because there's no people associated with them. Home invasion's gone bad. Kidnappings for ransom are violent crimes because there's a human victim associated with it. So that's the major difference. Burglary is a property crime. Kidnapping, robbery is a crime of a person.
Yeah. Phil, another question that some people might not know the answer to, but how does one get in CODIS? Not everyone is in CODIS. So what does it have to be, a buckle swab previously or a fingerprint from a previous crime or incarceration?
Yeah, you've got to have been arrested for a violent crime. And while you're being booked, it depends on the state laws. Our laws here in Nevada, if you're booked for a violent crime, there's a buckle swab taken. It's submitted to our DNA lab, and they get a full profile and put it into CODIS. CODIS does not accept voluntary submissions. It's part of the FBI's program. So you can't say, hey, here's my DNA, put me in CODIS. They'll say, no, go to Ancestry or something like that. But if you're in CODIS, you're in there for a reason, and it's usually because you're a bad guy.
I love these guests. They're not giving up. StreamYard, I'm going to come sue your asses if you can't give me software that works on YouTube. I'm coming for you. You can shadow ban me all you want. Don't mess with my show. Mac, sorry about that, Mac.
No problem.
But I know you have some thoughts on this Savannah sort of soliloquy here. And I'm just intrigued because you think tomorrow we're going to learn something. And I trust you because you got a wealth of experience. And I'm just wondering if she's trying to get ahead here, even though you keep saying she doesn't know the name. And, you know, if it's Sam, let's say. But you think tomorrow there's a chance we do get a name and then she can get a little more personal with whoever Sam is or whoever this person is?
I don't know that we're going to get a name. I think we're going to get a connection. I think they're going to be able to tell us this sample matches this sample, whether it's from the house or the Range Rover. But what I'm saying is if she has been in communication with somebody to the point that she thinks her mother is still alive, that means she does have proof of life of some sort. That means this person is telling her things about what her mom is saying. When she says, whoever has her, that to me is still a question because she doesn't know. But she says, you're not alone, that it's never too late to do the right thing. She keeps saying, you know, there's goodness in the world. It's almost like she's given hope that, hey, the FBI is going to come out and say they've got your DNA. Please don't kill her and yourself. That to me is she's almost hedging her bet that if she's out there alive being held by this person, the FBI basically put out today, we're coming for you. We got your DNA.
Yeah. From Perpetua, Savannah Guthrie seems to put out a video before significant info is released. I think significant info is about to be released tomorrow. So you're of the same thinking as the great Cheryl Mack McCollum. And investigate the perp and how well he used the bite light, used it in his work, etc. That's interesting. And you heard David Sarney
talking about a perpology. Maybe this guy does things in piping systems or something. I have no idea. Why are there not more demands for money? David Sarney, that's a good question. So we've gotten, you know, these demand notes to Harvey Levin that no one believes is connected to this person. But if this, if she's alive and she's being held by someone, we can sort of assume from what we know right now that whoever that is, let's just call him Sam, because that's the name Cheryl gave him. And I like the name Sam. Let's say Sam has her. Why hasn't he asked for money? Why hasn't he made himself known yet?
Yeah, that's, there's so much you can look at with this. And, you know, we don't know. We don't know if those are even his notes or the notes coming from him. I look at a lot of cases that we've had in New York about, like, we had an abduction years ago. I'm not going to give names, but it was a person taken off the street. And what happened with that, the perp felt the pressure of the police coming and was going to release him, but he didn't. So maybe this is the thing about this case that's different. You know, Savannah is pulling at the heartstrings of a person, trying to get some feel for him, trying to do that. You're doing whatever you can. You know, as an investigator, we have to deal with the facts and we can't be emotional. The family has to be emotional. She's putting that out there, putting the emotion that we can't show as an investigator. You can't show as the police, because we don't worry. We're not worried about how we feel. It's like, can we prove this? That's what it comes down to. So if they have something coming out, that they have a they have a name to something, and it comes back to, you have to tie these things in. Does the FBI have enough? And I will say this, when we had, I had we had a burglary, and I just use these as examples because this burglary's coming to mind. There was an item left at the scene, and when I submitted it for DNA, I remember we had a DNA unit within the Manhattan District Attorney's office, and I met with the Manhattan DA, DNA DA, and we got the DNA back. She goes, I think we're going to have somebody. So it took like less than a day till we had an identified person, but we had also we had a glove left by him at the scene. So we have to really tie that subject, that person, that the DNA from that glove and find, and again, not do it because you have to. Is there proof of evidence at that residence that there's DNA from that scene there matches the glove on the scene that they recover? That's what you have to do.
Yeah. By the way, we got a lot of new people coming in because of this story. For those who do not know, we do a live panel show just like this Monday through Thursday on YouTube at 7 p.m. Eastern, 1 o'clock. My 86-year-young mother, who's a child Holocaust survivor and likes to give me a hard time, hence the name Surviving the Survivor. She comes on at 1 o'clock. She's also a licensed marriage therapist. She came on this past Friday and gave us sort of the family dynamic angle, which was interesting. But please, it's easy. All you have to do is hit that like button, subscribe. We've got an active Patreon page. And as you can tell, we work really hard. It's a team of four of us, broadcast news people. My wife was a former CBS news correspondent, Steve Cohen, who books the guests, former CBS booking producer. Space Coast on the West Coast is an audiophile, and we've got the best mods. And I always say best guests, better community, because we've got the best community in all the YouTubes. Johnny Knoxville's in the house, but it doesn't look like him. If this person is not a professional criminal, based on break-in, that doesn't appear to be the case. How is this person managing their daily life work and not letting the cat out of the bag? Phil Ramos, Johnny Knoxville, check out under the video tab. I did an interview. Mac knows who this is. FBI Special Agent Greg McCrary. He started the Science of Profiling. The guy is a bad man. He talked about this, but Phil Ramos, Greg was saying this guy is going to be short-tempered, out of time. He's going to be aggravated. He's going to be tense. But a lot of people are like that, especially if you live in New York City, but this is Tucson. But how do you find a person like that?
Good question.
Yeah.
And it's, you just hope that he cracks enough, and this guy's cracking. He's looking over his shoulder and looking out his windows and checking his mirrors, wherever he's going, just waiting for the police to take him down. He knows they're coming. He knows he's going to get caught. So he's living his own hell right now. He's just trying to survive. Whether he's a lone wolf, whether he's got family around him, who knows? But somebody out there is sweating bullets, and they're not sleeping at night, and they're not eating, and they are in a panic. It's just a matter of is there anybody around to see that and try and put two and two together?
I have a feeling we're going to get some news tonight. And if we do, we'll come back on. Even the COE's saying, are you serious right now? But if we do, we'll come back on. Just a few more things and then final thoughts. But one of the questions, Mac, to you is, you know, we saw this Carlos guy get detained and released. And the other night we saw SWAT come in with two trucks. All hell breaks loose. Phil Ramos was on, and I think David was on. They were saying there's no way this is a nothing burger. And then it appeared that they just let these people go, and it was a nothing burger. And the sheriff has said there's going to be more of this. What is going on? Why are they showing kind of this show of force to no end, I guess?
I think that was on purpose, too. You know, I think you just hit that guitar string and just let it reverberate to see who it brings out. That's why they offered the $100,000. That's a specific demographic. I think all of us, when I first saw the Range Rover, the first thing I thought of is if that Range Rover is not stolen, that car didn't fit for me. Normally, you're not going to have a young person, and I mean relatively young, you know, go up to a door and try the doorknob first and do a ridiculous home invasion. Again, if you're going in and out of the front door, why are you busting the lights in the back? It makes no sense. You did steps that weren't necessary. You normally are not going to have a $70,000 car. If you've got something critical in the back, you don't pull forward into a parking space under a light. I mean, he's right there in front of a street lamp. That's odd to me. But again, every single thing about this case has been odd. Nothing has fit perfect for me from day one.
Yeah, I mean, there's no credible evidence to this next comment. However, it is a reality. This is 60 miles from the border. I used to do stories all the time in Mexico when I reported in Tucson. David Sarney, if for some reason she is in Mexico, I mean, right now, do you think that the feds or Pima County is working with authorities in Mexico as we speak, saying, hey, have you seen anything? Are you looking at cameras, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, everything. Hopefully they did this beforehand, because when you have a person that has been abducted within an area, you probably have at least notified adjoining agencies and talked to the federal police in Mexico and try and give them a little heads up in case you saw this come down. Those are things you're looking at. You know, there should have not been no stone is unturned, because we said this before. Everything's been unusual. I mean, you bring a full backpack into a residence. You don't take any of the backpack to break whatever you were doing, to pry or whatever. You know, that's just unusual. A lot of things, you know, the gun, you know, you obviously brings a firearm to this location, because again, late night burgs and things like that. You're going to confront somebody, but maybe, you know, is this his first time doing night burgs? You know, that's unusual. Everyone is a pattern. Everybody's a patternable person. I deal with burglars all the time. Nighttime guys are nighttime guys. Pry guys are pry guys. Window guys are window guys. Daytime people do daytime, say no one's going to be there. Is this his first foray into burglaries like this? A nighttime burg? Because that's something that it doesn't fit what I normally see for burgs. It just doesn't fit it. So it's kind of, that's why it's been so unusual. And everyone kept saying, is it targeted? Or this was not targeted. He did a burg, got there, went, oh my God, I have a lady here. And then he had some semblance of remorse and took her out of the house, or he was angry. We don't know. There's just things that are unusual about this that we've all looked at. You know, this might've been the burglary that turned out to be Savannah Guthrie's mother. You know, that could be in his mind. You know, that's, you don't know. That's why I think Savannah putting it out there constantly. Is this person looking at it, Savannah Guthrie's Instagram? The only way he's learning about it is by the media putting it out there, hopefully. And maybe this person has been watching somewhere along the line and said, you know what? Maybe it's time. I've been doing this too long. It's got to be done. And we've seen that pressure put on perps in the past where they're like, you know what? I'll just surrender and do it. So maybe this will be that turning point until that press conference where we have A, we have this, B, we have this, C, we have this.
Two more questions, then final thoughts, I promise. And Mac, to you, back to the glove, the now infamous. I mean, the only time we ever heard about a glove this much was OJ. If it doesn't fit, you must have quit. And now we're back. I hope it doesn't end like that. But Mac, to you, what kind of DNA do you hope they're getting? I mean, touch DNA versus blood DNA versus saliva. Would they have to have a good source of DNA?
They've got a good source. You can be in the winter and wear them gloves, and you're going to sweat on the inside. So on the inside, I can guarantee you, they've got his DNA. On the outside, again, we know she was bleeding. We know he had to help her because she cannot walk on her own very far. So what I'm hoping is hers is on the outside and his is on the inside, and that's what we call a money tree. There's no way you're going to be able to explain that is going to be bought by anybody. So, again, I feel like the FBI played their card. Savannah Guthrie's now played hers. And I'm going to tell you again, tomorrow's the day. We're going to have a press conference with some solid information.
COE, you better get ready. Those kids don't have school tomorrow, so we'll just put them in a room with a TV. Just I won't tell the detectives. I'll just lock them in a room or something there. Hey, Mac, I'm getting the beginning state. The COE, for full disclosure, we're both a little run down, not to whine here, but she slept about, I don't know, 18 hours. And what's your suggestion? What is the old Southern remedy? I have the beginning stages of what feels like a cold. Do I do a shot of whiskey?
Honey and whiskey.
Honey and whiskey. I'm doing that right after this show. Okay. Final thing, Phil Ramos. A signal sniffer. Never heard of this in my life, but investigators were using what is called a signal sniffer. It's some small device that was sent in and attached to the sheriff's helicopter, and it was being used to detect Nancy Guthrie's pacemaker signal. The helicopter has to stay low and move slowly for it to work. Is this anything that you have ever used? Are you familiar with it? Is it effective?
Man, I've never even heard about it. I saw that and I go, that's great. But I, with the minimal knowledge I have of digital electronics, you know, my grandkids program our TVs here. But that helicopter has to be low enough to pick up the Bluetooth signal coming from the device that is putting out that Bluetooth signal. So I don't know what that minimum height requirement is. But it's going to disturb the neighbors, but, you know, whatever, this is police work. So that's a very good use of the hundreds of new technological tools that we have available to us. How effective it is, I don't know. Mac might know this term, that dog don't hunt. So we don't know.
I can tell you that dog don't hunt. I don't think there's been one case where that successfully found a victim. But again, case may be the case. And I'm a firm believer, every tool on every case, every time. Try it, whether it's solved 10 cases or not. Give it a shot.
COE, I'm going to have to warm up the whiskey is what Sandy Baker's saying. David Sarney, retired NYPD detective. Love this guy. His cats, by the way, are all named after mafia characters, which is even the best. Makes him even better. David Sarney, what's your gut telling you tonight? Mac thinks we're getting a big announcement tomorrow. Your thoughts, your final thoughts here. Where are we at?
Well, what we're at is hopefully we get a good result of this DNA analysis. That's what you're looking for. And, you know, the ducks are lining up. You know, these are good things on the end. You know, when they did the search warrant, they did that. And you're like, this is it. This is it. This is it. They got something really good. And it turned out to be surprisingly not. And then finding out that it was a federal warrant and warrants, you know, the knock and notice, was it a real type of warrant? Everything that's being done is being done. You know, there may be missteps. We have, you know, those happen in any investigation. We make missteps. But what you're looking for is, and it's not a slam dunk. I keep saying this, DNA is not a slam dunk. It is a great tool. But the next step, if you do have a person identified by DNA, and we hope that this investigation can lead to the totality of circumstances have led to us to this DNA analysis and a DNA, again, DNA hit if it's possible. But you hope it's all coming down, because once this person is found out, apprehended, the next step is you want to make sure this person is convicted beyond a reasonable doubt. And that's the next step of this. So we're still doing all the little steps going through this, but the end result is we've got to make sure that we have everything ready. So when the person is identified, that we have the case then the prosecution takes this person. And by the way, that dog don't hunt, that's the second time I've ever heard that. I had a lieutenant tell me that one day with a video camera. When I said, we didn't get the guy on camera, he goes, yo, that dog don't hunt. I was like, well, that dog isn't hunting, I'm sorry. But that was the first thing I ever heard that. So now it's the second time I've heard it. Thank you for that, Mac, thank you.
Patriotiac, are you going to go live if something breaks, even if it's later tonight? Yes, we are. COE is not going to like that, but we are. And we'll be live tomorrow. And then we're going to bring you a plan because it's a big, big birthday for the COE. And believe it or not, I have a trip that I planned last March and we're set to be out of here on Tuesday. Of course, this is going on because I planned it a year ago. That's why. But his name is Phil Ramos, detective to you, 3-time officer of the year. The dude carried $1 million in cash through a casino to infiltrate the Cuban mob. He was shot at during a contract on his life. He was present for Tupac Shakur's autopsy. And he said the other day, I've had a lot of guns put to my temple. Not a lot of people can say that. He was also a homicide detective for like 15 years. Phil Ramos is a legend, man, in the law enforcement world. Phil Ramos, is this going to break soon? Are we going to get a crack in this case? Is there too much heat on whoever this Nest cameraman is?
Yes. Yes and yes. depending on how big this announcement is tomorrow, it could be really quick. But at least if we're going in the right direction, we're on the right path. Well, they are on the right direction. By the way, man, if they called me and said, will you come and work this? I'd be on a jet in a minute to do this.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I think everybody would. But yeah, it's getting closer. Hopefully it won't be during your timeout, but you never know. You just never know. It's a coin toss on when it is, you know. David can tell you that you get that one phone call that comes in and say, hey, here it is. And next thing you know, you're booking somebody an hour later. It's just got to see what happens.
Phil, please write a book. That's your next job, Phil Ramos. Meanwhile, shout out to Phil Andrew, retired FBI special agent and a hostage negotiator. He's running for Congress. Good on him. That's one thing I will never do in Illinois. So wishing him luck. But Cheryl Mack McCollum, as you saw, is a legend in her own right. Are you still current CSI, Mack? Are you retired?
I will be on duty in the morning.
There you go. She's also an Emmy Award winner. And now she's got a book coming out, Swans Don't Swim in a Sewer, about a serial killer whose daughter was murdered and reached out for help from you.
Yes.
Wow. I am definitely pre-ordering that. That's available on Amazon to pre-order.
Yes. Thank you so much for mentioning that. Yes.
Yeah, I'm 100% ordering that. And Mac, I'm going to leave it open-ended here. Are we actually, do you think, going to get a name tomorrow, like you've been saying, and do we get some sort of conclusion soon?
I think we're going to get a lot of information. I don't know about a name yet, but I think they're going to let you know they're running it through CODIS. So a name is quickly coming. If it's somebody, again, that's already been arrested for a felony or convicted, but I think it's going to be full steam ahead right now. And not only does that dog hunt, honey, he's off the porch.
Gotta love Mac, man. She is like Southern charm incarnated. On that note, love you, America. Love you, New York City. Love you, Georgia. Love you, Vegas. And obviously love you, Tucson. Let's bring Nancy home. And please, you saw how wrecked Savannah is. It's soul crushing to look at that. Her family is literally being tortured live on television. We've got to have the decency to keep her in our thoughts and our prayers, whatever you do. And hopefully she will be uplifted tomorrow with good news. We will be back tomorrow and maybe later tonight if all hell breaks loose. So everyone buckle up. Going to get my shot of whiskey, some Zicam, some, I don't know, oregano, people said. I'll try anything, but we'll see you tomorrow. Stick around one second.